The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's action. On this edition, you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:40pm with Dave Kellner, Gary Capewell and James Millman in the studio. We've got Wolverhampton, Fosslass and Newbury in the afternoon. We'll finish the day with All Weather Racing at Chelmsford City. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Sam Turner. How are you, Sam?
Yeah, very well, thank you, Mark. Are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. Obviously, quite a big weekend coming up in terms of the return of the flat and the Lincoln and the Dubai World Cup. We'll move on to that in due course, but we'll start with a little bit of a look at some of the news because there's quite a bit going on at the moment. And as of today, we're going non-running money back on the Grand National.
Terrific, yeah.
So we might as well start with a look at that, Sam. Shut the front door, 8-1 at the top of the market. 11s for Rocky Creek. Balthazar King is 12s. 14s for the Druid's Nephew. 20s for Cause of Causes, God's Me Judge, Spring and Spring Healed. And 25-1 or bigger prices for the others. Shut the front door may well be Tony McCoy's, might even be his last ride if he wins the National on him.
But yeah,
we don't know if he's going to ride him yet, actually. So
we don't. It could be between him and Cause of Causes, who won the four-miler at Cheltenham, of course, and shed his maiden tag over fences in doing so at the 10th or the 11th attempt, I think. He'd run particularly well a number of times prior to that and been beaten a nose and a short head in driving finishes. So it's not as if he was a little bit of a twicer. And he put it all together in good style in the hands of Jamie Codd to win at Cheltenham in, you know, pretty facile fashion, to be honest. And he is a really good backup, I would think, for Shut the Front Door if anything just does go wrong at the last minute. AP hasn't made his mind up yet, but I'd be amazed, absolutely amazed, if he got off a John Joe O'Neill horse who looked a potential Gold Cup horse a couple of months ago, or a horse that was capable of running well in a Gold Cup. If he got off John Joe's in the in his last ride at the Grand National and that went and won, I don't think he'd ever forgive himself.
No. Neither do I. He's mentioned on a number of occasions he wants to ride a John Joe horse in the colours of JP McManus as potentially his last ride.
That is the dream ticket, isn't it? Most certainly. John Joe's got a strong hand, of course, because he got Mary King, who was third in the Hennessy before Christmas, which is great form, absolutely brilliant form, obviously with many clouds and, you know, one or two other, you know, quality horses coming out of that race. Rocky Creek, Jackadam. I mean, it's red hot form. And he has had his win done as well, Mary King. Mm-hmm. He's well suited by a flat galloping track. He looks as though he's in a, you know, nice little handicap bracket, I would think. He's going to wear the tongue tie. There are plenty of positives for Mary King. You know, he's already been placed in a Welsh National. You could see him really running well now that he's been given a bit of assistance with his breathing.
Yeah, and he's 25-1 as well. So I've seen worse each way pokes than that.
For sure. I mean, he's been to some tough parties. You know, he's mixed it in Hennessy's and Welsh Nationals, and I think, I don't know if he ran in the Scottish National as well last year. You know, so he's been doing the rounds for a while in these, you know, prestigious handicap chases, certainly the marathon ones. And, you know, he's certainly a horse that you want to have on side, really, if you're looking for an outsider at a price.
Mm. I suppose we should mention Paul Nichols' battalion that he sent into the race. He's got six in there at the moment.
Yeah,
hasn't he? So.
Yeah, he has. And a very, very strong hand as well. Obviously, Rocky Creek, who's well in at the weights, if you pay a lot of store in that. I think it was, he got Union East, Rebel Rebellion, Benvolio. You know, Montparan, you know, he really has got an absolute multitude of riches, really. Some real quality to go to war with. And, you know, he's going to have sort of six of the 40 runners as well, which is sort of eclipsing the pipe domination almost at one stage when he used to have a lot of runners in this race. But they're all horses with absolute live chances. Mm. Back in the day, 20 years ago, before you were born, you'd find that there'd be 2 milers shipping up here, 2.5 milers. You know, everyone would be just trying to get a run. But now you're going to have 40 very solid candidates, all of, you know, the great majority of which will have raced over in excess of 3 miles, or perhaps even won over in excess of 3 miles. So it's difficult to write anything off these days.
Yeah, it's a much more compressed handicap, isn't it, these days?
Yeah, as we've seen with some of the results, you know, Monmouth, Pinot de Ray, you know, Aurora's Encore, you know, 40s, 66s, 100s, you know, there's quality horses in the handicap now, whereas before you'd have something like Just So, where you might have been a stone out the weights or something like that. So it's a much better race these days, I think.
Mm. I agree. With regards to the Aintree Festival as a whole, obviously, sometimes it gets forgotten about there. It's three fantastic days at Aintree, isn't
brilliant.
It?
Brilliant. Absolutely. You shouldn't forget about it. And anyone who gets the opportunity to go, it's certainly Grand National Day. I know it's packed. I can fully understand it being a bit too busy for some people. But there's such a sense of history about Aintree and the Grand National that it almost feels like, for racing fans, you're at a cup final, really, or a World Cup final in some respect. There's that many people watch the race across the world, you know, 150 million. At least we'll see the race the second Saturday in April. That it's just a marvellous spectacle, and to be involved with that and you know, to see him come over the last and round the elbow, you know, if you're fortunate enough to get a good pitch in a stand somewhere to watch it live, it is an unbelievable experience.
Mm. Yeah, and just go and stand next to the fence as well when you actually see the size of those fences. At
Yeah, and they say they've made them easy. Yeah. You know, you walk the track, you know, and have a look at the chair and tell me that's easy.
Mm. And Valentine's has become very difficult, hasn't it? Yeah,
so. I mean, God knows what these fences were like 20, 30 years ago in Ginger's day. I mean, they must have been, because obviously they've levelled the drops on the other side as well. They weren't particularly level before, so they could catch horses out as well. So, yeah, it probably makes for a fairer race now and a better quality handicap, really, in some respects, over a marathon trip, you know.
Yeah, it's quite a spectacle. William Mullins had the 1-2-3 in the Champion Hurdle.
Yep.
Apparently, he's considering aiming all three for the entry version.
Well, I've got more chance of running this than Faheen. I can't believe he's going to run in this. If I had to nail my colours to a mask, it would be the fact that Annie Power would represent. I think it's the perfect trip for her, the interim trip, 2.5. And with the news that the new one is going to miss the race as well, that opens the door even further for her.
Yeah, I was just going to mention... It doesn't sound too good about the new one, does it? Is it called a kissing spine?
Yeah, that seems to be the ailment that he's got, which would probably contribute to the fact that he was jumping right at every hurdle. He was feeling it probably through his races. And, you know, it's all very well doing all the schooling you like at home and coming up the gallop at home, etc., etc. But it's under the pressure, the intense pressure of a Champion Hurdle when you're being asked to do more than you would necessarily do. It's obviously a condition that's probably deteriorated as well. Thankfully, they've found it.
Yeah.
You know, and there's I'm no vet for sure. So it's you know, it's questionable how long it's going to take and what sort of surgery will be required. You know, if he's going to be returned to be a top class national hunt horse as he is, fingers crossed he will, because you know, British racing needs the new one and horses of his ilk to come through to compete with the battalions from across the sea.
Yeah, makes it interesting. Well, it will be an interesting one. I mean, Rock and Ruby as well, by the way.
Yeah.
He went close in it last year, didn't he?
Yeah,
behind the new one.
Perfect race for him as well. 2.5 mile, good ground.
Right trip, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, he only got beaten a short head by the new one. You know, it's a race that invariably cuts up a little bit, but you might find one or two of the others stepping back in trip from the world hurdle. You know, the likes of Zarkander might have a little dart. He's running it before now. I'm not sure about... You know, Nicky Henderson's, he's got Vanateur, you know, something like that might go into it. But yeah, it could be quite an open race this year. And let's hope Annie Power runs as well and puts a bit of glamour into it.
Yeah, we've got all that to look forward to. Before we get to that, though, we've got a pretty decent weekend this weekend as well with the Lincoln. We'll start with a quick look at that. And obviously the Dubai World Cup. Monjol is now the 5-1 clear favourite for the Lincoln.
Yeah.
Jim Hopkins, 6-1. 8 for Zawan, who's been a little bit of a gamble. 12-1 for Gabriel's Kaka. Hillbilly Boys, 14s with Mondial East and Muharib. And then 16s are bigger prices for the others. A bit in the paper today about Zawan. Apparently he's pleasing Dunlop.
Yeah, absolutely. Dunlop had a winner at Wolverhampton earlier this week as well, so the yard are well forward, which is encouraging. I backed Zawan when he ran in the Britannia last year at Royal Ascot, and he was unlucky a bit. I thought he could have been a bit closer. He was fifth that day, so he's got a bit of straight track, big field form, which is obviously a positive going into a race like this. Monjol is a class animal. I also backed a horse called American Hope, which he came and beat. I still don't know how American Hope didn't win at Ascot that day, but Monjol, given a fine ride by Liam Jones, to just nail him on the line. So they look the two upwardly mobile horses in the field, really. I've got a bit of time for Hillbilly Boy. I thought he ran really well at Royal Ascot in a race there. I'm not sure a mile on soft ground, because we're supposed to get a fair bit of rain, aren't we, towards the back end of the week.
Mm-hmm.
A mile on soft ground will seem to great effect but this year. But keep an eye on Hillbilly Boy, because I thought he shaped with a bit of promise when he came back with his reappearance at Lingfield recently. So it's all boiling up. It looks a difficult race. It's not a race I've got a particularly great record in, so I probably won't spend hours and hours and hours sifting through its early season handicap form. you know, invariably Richard Fye has a good record in it as well. It's a race he's dominated a little bit in the last 10 years. So I'll have a good look as the week wears on and try and pick up some clues from the draw, hopefully.
Yeah, that's probably wise at this stage. And the Dubai World Cup then, California Chrome, 6-4 at the top of the market there. Leah, 7-2, 6-1 for African Story. Epiphania is 7-1, 11s for Hoko Taramei, and 12-1 or bigger prices for the others. And apparently, California Chrome has taken to the service very well over in Dubai.
As you would expect, yeah, as you would expect. And, you know, it is a shame, really, that we've got this surface in. It has encouraged the Americans over. Obviously, Leah, you know, from Bill Mott's barn is another runner in the race. But there isn't any, you know, British or Irish involvement in the race. You know, they've just all swerved it because the tapete has been ripped out and the dirt's been put in. I'm not sure if it's a good move myself, but anyway, it's been well covered and well documented that. But I keep hearing good reports for Leah, the second favourite. Speaking to a couple of people who are out there covering it for various media channels, okay. There's a lot of groundswell of confidence behind Leah's chance.
Right.
So, yeah, be interesting to see how he goes. He's second favourite, 7-2. It's not as if I'm, you know, turning to back a 25-1 poke, but they are very, very happy with his movements at the moment.
Okay. Good stuff. Interesting. Anything else then before we move on? Anything else in the news or that's caught your eye that you want to highlight before we move on to Thursday stuff?
Well, just touching on Maidan this Saturday, there's an absolute belting race. I think it's the first race on the card, actually. Is it the Dirt Mile? Which looks a really terrific heat. But Tamaka's absolutely incredible how he's managed to be able to draw and won again. I think his draws this year in four or five of the Carnival races have been like 1-1, 2-1 or something ridiculous. And he's got the one box again for Paul Hannigan and Hamdan Amaktuman, Almarari's trainer. But I think Frankie Fourfingers is an interesting runner in the race as well. And of course, Brendan Powell's got Dark Emerald in that race, who's won something like 150,000 in prize money since he's been out there this winter. Absolutely astonishing. But that looks like an absolutely belting opener. I know the dirt surface isn't for everyone. It's not always an edifying spectacle as the turf would be out there or the tapete. But Tamaka's is an absolute dirt monster, so it'll be fascinating to see how he gets on trying to dominate 15 rivals in the Godolphin Mile there.
Yeah, no surprise to see he's at the top of that market, 6-4 at the moment, so yeah. Quite a popular favourite.
What price is Frankie Fourfingers?
8, second favourite, so it's he's quite a lopsided market.
It is, he's a possible each way, hopefully. So, are we betting 3 places or 4?
3.
Right.
Yeah, 50 odds, 1, 2, 3.
Okay, and Dark Emerald, is he about 20s or something?
20s, yeah. Okay, well, we've got all that to look forward to on Saturday, but let's concentrate on matters a little bit close to hand. Sam's got 3 races for us on Thursday, and we'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we'll start with the first race that Sam's picked out, which is the 3:40 at Newbury. This is a Class 3 handicap chase over 2.5 miles. We've got a field of 9 of them here. And which ones have caught your eye here then, Sam?
Well, it's one or two decent races at Newbury. It's quite a nice bonus to have it on a Thursday afternoon, so soon after the weekend's action. But owner view in the partnership and the colours of Yes, No, Wait, Sorry's Alan Lee from The Times and one or two other luminaries, cricket fans have their horses in these colours. And he absolutely hacked up on Saturday. Over 2 miles, admittedly, he tackles 2.5 here. But he destroyed Village Vicar, who was a horse that I got a few quid rolling onto. And he made him look daft. And I just wonder whether he's had a bit of remedial work done. He's by presenting as well. The decent ground is going to suit him. They've got him out again quickly, very clearly. You know, makes sense because he's got a £7 penalty, whereas he's probably going to go up a stone for that win on Saturday. And he just looks the answer to this 3:40. It's a tricky little race. Morning Reggie's also in there under a penalty as well. He was very impressive at Warwick last week. So there should be no lack of pace. But I think if Paddy Brennan's mount owner view is in the same sort of form, then he's going to take an awful lot of stopping in that 3:40.
Yeah, he destroyed him, didn't he? 11 lengths and then 18 lengths back to the third.
It was incredible performance, really. I mean, I went up and down the race on the Saturday morning. I thought, this Village Vic, who'd won previously, looks quite a solid bet here. I put it in a double or something, got a few quid rolling on and was quite happy with my situation halfway round. And then Owner View just took off and destroyed the destroyed him and all the other rivals as well. So under a £7 penalty. I know he's upped in trip, but he wasn't stopping at the end. So be disappointing if he's beaten here.
Okay. Our interview then in the 3:40 at Newbury. Let's move on to the evening action at Chelmsford City next. For the next that Sam's picked out, the 7:15 is where we go, and it's a Class 5 handicap over 6 furlongs, and starting with Invigilator here, Sam. Is that the one that?
Derek Shaw's got his sprinters in quite good form at the moment. He went close with a horse at Wolverhampton on Monday afternoon, Dragon Dancer or something similar to that ilk, and in Invigilator, he's got a horse that invariably runs well in these races without winning. But I think the fact that there's a smaller field here might help him. There looks a little bit of pace on as well, which should set the race up for him. And I know horses coming off the pace at Chelmsford aren't always favoured, but he looks in such good heart at the moment, has won at the track. And with Derek's sprinters going well, he looks the obvious one for me here. He chased home Colour Bearer last time. It was a horse that's been turned inside out by Charlie Wallace since he's taken out a licence. He's done a super job with him, inheriting him from Milton Bradley. And Gung Ho Jack's had a busy time of it. Rambo Will's sort of 7 and not really looking in great nick at the moment. Same comment could sort of apply to Amenable. Harwood Star is the upwardly mobile horse. But with Bertie Blueboy in the race, they should go a really good gallop here, and that'll suit Invigilator.
Yeah, and his form figures might say 4 and 3 for his last two runs, but he's been beaten by such small margins. Yeah. He deserves to get.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's been charging home at the death. Paddy Mathers knows him well. Excuse me, and it'll be disappointing. He's feasibly handicapped at the moment. This is a really good opportunity for him. The race should set up for him as well. And if the pace falls apart at the death, he could be picking up the pieces.
Okay, Invigilator in the 7:15, and we finish in the 8:15, which is a Class 6 handicap over a mile and a quarter. We finish with 7 of them in the lineup here, and it's a few interesting ones here coming into this, making their handicap debuts after 3 runs in maiden. So.
Yeah, one or two lightly raced horses, isn't there? Not least Leon Cavallo, who was 6th in the Lingfield maiden when we last saw him. That was 50-odd days ago behind YJ. A horse ridden by Frankie Dettori that day. I think it was Frankie's first ride back, actually, after his sort of winter break. So Leon Cavallo was just in a horrible position all the way around, really. But I think that was partly on a purpose so that he could get a handicap mark and just slip into a Class 6 handicap at Chelmsford, the last race on the card, over a mile and a quarter. He looked for all the world like he wants to step up in trip. He was doing all his best work late on. And although you can be seduced by these sort of late headway monkeys, you know, the ones that just run on when it's all over, he did shape as though, you know, mile a quarter was going to really play to his strengths, and it'd be disappointing if he can't really take a hand and make an impact in a race of this nature. Retro Valley's the interesting one because he's engaged at Kempton on Wednesday, and obviously if he wins there, he could then go on to Chelmsford with a penalty, and he would look more enticing if he wins and wins well at Kempton. But Leon Cavallo, for me, I think he's sort of a Class 6 handicapper, probably masquerading, you know, as that sort of level. He should be probably a bit better than this.
Mm. And Charlie Appleby's in remarkably good form at the moment, isn't he?
Had a great winter.
Tell anybody that, but
nice as well. I mean, you know, British trainer, obviously training for Godolphin, or an English trainer training for Godolphin. You know, we need him to, you know, succeed. Really, we need Godolphin to succeed to sort of keep the competition strong between O'Brien and Godolphin and all the various different facets of the flat racing scene. So, you know, a strong Godolphin's got to be good for this country, you know, because they employ, you know, hundreds of thousands of people, have hundreds of thousands of horses. And, you know, it's good that Charlie, who's very good with the media, and it's good that he's having a good time of it at the moment.
Mm. What a nice way to finish the podcast.
Upbeat and positive. That's how we like it, Mark.
Exactly, yeah, good stuff. Thank you very much, Sam. Good luck and enjoy it on Thursday.
Cheers, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Sam Turner on Thursday's racing. You'll hear it on Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. with Dave Kellner, Gary Capewell and James Millman in the studio. Wolverhampton, Fosslass and Newbury are the 3 meetings in the afternoon. And we have this meeting at Chelmsford City in the evening as well. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.